Today's daf is Erev in Daf Kuf Aleph, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Amid Beis Eini. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Rufo Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, and Alter Shmuel ben Chava Leah. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So we ended yesterday's daf rather abruptly, almost in middle of a sentence. So just to regroup and follow the paper trail, as the beginning of today's daf is very much a digression from the sugyas and Masechtas Erevin. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes Amid Beis discussed a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos related to a tree. A tree that is very large, its branches are bent over, they reach to within 3 tefachim from the ground, so that the area underneath the tree is now a reshus hayachid. The halach is you'd be allowed to be metaltal in that area. We mentioned one halacha, negei hilchos Shabbos, related to a tree, related to dinei hoitzah, which is the topic of the last perek of Masechtas Erevin. So we mentioned another halacha about a tree, and that is you're not allowed to be mishtamish with an ilan on Shabbos. What if you have a tree and the shroshim or there are branches that are protruding from the side of the tree? If they're within 3 tefachim from the ground, you look at them as being part of the ground, you can be mishtamish with it. If they're more than 3 tefachim above the ground, then it's going to be a problem. May inyan le inyan, a shtickle ba'isa inyan. The Gemara then discussed, is it okay to walk on grass on Shabbos? Tani chada, one braisa said it is okay. Tani chada, another braisa said it's not okay. In the context of that discussion, the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "V'atz biraglayim chayte." A person that walks quickly with his feet is considered a chayte, and that's related to this idea that you're not allowed to sometimes walk on grass on Shabbos. Once the Gemara mentioned that pasuk, "V'atz biraglayim chayte," so the Gemara brought another memra. Amar Rami Bar Chama Amar Rav Asi, completely unrelated. Asa la Adam she Yaakov ishtay ledvar mitzvot. Asa for a person to force his wife v'tashmish hamita. How do you know that? Shenemar v'atz piraglayim chayte. And in this drasha, the word raglayim is a euphemism for tashmish hamita. Once we mentioned the idea of forcing a person's wife for tashmish, the Gemara then went me'inyan le'inyan and brought a memra that Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni said in the name of Rav Yonason, and that is kol isha she'et toivas bailu v'dvar mitzvah. If a woman is toiveya tashmish from her husband, it's a very good thing. How good? Having la banim she'afilu b'dayrish on Moshe lo'yhayu k'maysam. She's going to merit to have children that are going to be so great that even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dor Deya, there weren't such great children. What's the basis for this drasha? So Rabbi Yonason said, because B'dayrish on Moshe, you find that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to find Anashim Nevoinim. He couldn't find Anashim Nevoinim. Yet, Umibnei Yisoscha Yoidei Bina, the Pasuk says. And how was Yisoscha born? Vateitse Leah Likrasai. Leah went and was Tevea Tashmish from Yaakov Avinu. And it was through that that Yisoscha was born. And through Yisoscha came Yoidei Bina. So you see, through an Isha being Tevea Tashmish, children were born that were greater than the great people in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Either way, we're going to pick up on that note. And the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Meaning, it's a good thing for an Isha to be Tevea Tashmish from Mitav. Rabbi Yisrael Bar Avdimi, Rabbi Yisrael Bar Avdimi said, Eser Klolis Neskala Chava. Chava, after she sinned with the Eitz Hadas, so she was cursed. Not only was she cursed and punished, but she received 10 klolos. The chsiv, how do you know 10? The pasuk says, Alo isha amar, harbe arbe itzvoynech, vehe roynech, be'etzav tel dibonim, vel ishech tishu kosech, vuhu yimshol bach. And the Gemara darshins as follow. Harbe arbe, what does that mean? Elu shnei tipei damen. This is referring to 2 types of blood that a woman has, both of which are painful, both of which are deemed to be klolos. Achas dam nid, the achas dam besulim. The first time a woman engages in tashmish hamita, she has dam besulim. It's voynech. What is that referring to? Is that tsar gidol banim? It's referring to the tsar that a woman has raising her children. The heroynech is tsar ha'ibur, the tsar associated with pregnancy. Be'etzav tel dibanim kimashmoy, the Gemara says. That's self-explanatory. Obviously, childbirth is very painful. Vel ishech tishu kosech. What does that mean? Melamed sheho isha mishtoy kekes al bayla b'shot sheyoyitz l'derech. A woman whose husband goes away, he's not home, she desires him. And that Two is a klala. Vahu yimshobach. And finally, what does that mean? Malamicho isha tevas belev. Veha ish toiveya vepeh. That a woman is able to be toiveya her husband, but only belev. And dvarim shabalev ain't in dvarim. Right? She can't verbally express her desire for tashmash amito. A man, however, is allowed to. And zuhu mida toiveh ben ashim. And in fact, that's a mida toiveh ben ashim. For a woman to be toiveya belev, but not to be toiveya vepeh. What do you see from here? You see from what Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said, that one of the klolos that chavagat, which is something that affects all women for all generations, is melamicho isha tevas belev or ish tevei bepe and zuhi mida tevei ben ashem. So how could the Gemara say Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Rabbi Yonis kol isha tevas bailu ledvar mitzah havel lebanu shafilu b'leir shomayshu lehayu kumaisa? You see just the opposite. You see that isha tevas belev zuhi mida tevei ben ashem. It's a stira. So the Gemara says kika amrinan demartzi artzuye kame. A woman is not supposed to be toiveya bepeh, literally. Zuhi mida toive benoshim is when the isha is tevas belev. However, at the same time, she is allowed to do things that will insinuate that she's interested in tashmish and be teveya in an indirect way, and that's what Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani meant when he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Kol isha shetevas bailulid var mitzvah havel abanim shafilu b'dayu shomoshe lehayu kamaisam." Not that she's going to be teveya bepeh, but she'll be teveya with her actions, which will be suggestive of what it is that she's being teveya. But the Gemara says, so we mentioned b'derech agav this brisa eser klolis niskal lachava, and then the Gemara went through the 10 klolis. What were the 10 klolos? Shtei tipei damim, dam nida tam sulim, that's 2. Tzar gidol banim is 3. Tzar ibor is 4. Be'etzev tol libanim, childbirth, that's 5. Ha'isha mishtei kekes ha'bayla b'shoshu yoytzel ha'derech is 6. And ha'isha tevas belev, whereas the isha is tebeh bepeh, it's 7. So fake the Gemara. We started off saying 10 klolos, and hani sheva havin, do the math, it's only 7. Yes, Rav Dimi Omar. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, and he reported back so many halachas to the Yidden living in Bavel, so he explained the gap. He explained the 3 that klolos that are missing from this brayso. Amar, he said, atufa ka'avel, a woman, she covers her hair like an oval. Once upon a time, avelim used to cover their head. In fact, it's a little bit of a mystery why that minig is not observed anymore. But once upon a time, an oval would sit covered, atufa ka'avel, and that's the way a woman always has to be. Umenuda bikalav, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. V'chavusha bebeisa asurim, and a woman is locked up. So Rashi, where's she locked up? Kol kfuda bas melech panima, a woman is a tsnua, and as a result, she's locked up. Either way, these are the other 3. So the Gemara, my menuda bikalav. What is menuda bikalav? Ilem, it doesn't mean mishum da asala yichud, doesn't mean isa yichud, and that's a klala that she's not allowed to be with another man. Iunami asala yichud. He also has an isa yichud. Elo dasiru lebeitre. What it means is a woman is not allowed to have 2 husbands. Whereas a man, pre-Cherem, the Rabbeinu Gershom, was allowed to marry 2 wives. Now, practically speaking, did it happen? So we spoke at a rate bite not so long ago from Reb Ruvein Margolis, Ayin Shom. But in terms of halachically speaking, a woman is menuda mikol adam, because once she gets married, she's also la'akuli amaka hektish, like the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Beis. As opposed to a man, pre-Cherem, the Rabbeinu Gershom, was allowed to have more than 1 wife. So what are the 3 other klolos? She's atufa ka'avel, she covers her head. She's menuda mikol adam, meaning she can't have a second husband. And kol kfuda bas melech penima, that goes down as the 10th klolo. B'masnisatan and Abraisa, we had a different version of the other 3. Megadela sar kalilis. She grows here very long, like lilis, that's some female shade. V'yesheves umashtenes mayim kibehema. When a woman goes to the bathroom, even when she urinates, she sits down, and that's the way a behema goes to the bathroom. So that's considered a klolo. V'nasis kar lebaila b'shas tashmish. The husband is on top and the isha is on bottom, so that she serves as a kar, as a pillow for her husband, and that's considered a klala as well. Zokta Gemara v'idach, the other Tana, who didn't list these 3. How come he didn't list these 3? Meaning we have the 7 that are universally accepted as being the first 7 of the 10 klolos that Chava got. The question is the other 3. We have 2 lists of what the other 3 are. So Zokta Gemara, the first sheet that didn't bring these latter 3, how come not? So the Gemara says, Hani Shevach Hula. These are all things that are Dvarim Shal Shevach. And because they're Dvarim Shal Shevach, they're not considered klolos. To the contrary, long kir is Shevach. The fact that she's Lamata is a Shevach. And the fact that she's a Shevach, Umashtanas Maim Kibehema, that's Tznius, that's also a Shevach. I'm Reb Chiyah said, Maidichse, what's Pshan in the Pasik? That says, In Ioiv, Malfeinu mi Bahamois Oretz, Ume Oifa Shemayim Yichak Menu. Malfeinu mi Bahamos, when Eov said Malfeinu mi Bahamos, the word Malfeinu is Miloshin to learn, Aleph Bina, right? Learn and then teach. So Malfeinu mi Bahamos zu Preda. So you're supposed to learn from the Preda, the female mule. Shekirazu mashtenes mayim. She sits down when she urinates. Umi oifashem mayim yichakmenu. It's a tarnagel. We're supposed to learn from the tarnagel as well. Shemefayis v'achkach boil. A tarnagel isn't just boil, but rather a tarnagel is first mefayis, and only afterwards he's boil. Had we not had the Torah, we still would have known a lot of things simply from the Bria. Right? The Avos HaKadoshim, they were able to extrapolate the entire Torah from the Bria. Kemavur besvar makdoshim. So that's probably not something that most people would be able to do above our pay grade. However, there are certain hanhagos toivos and midos toivos that every single person, Rabbi Yochanan said, would be able to learn from the Bria. How so? Tznius we can learn from a cat. Rashi says that when a cat goes to the bathroom, he does it privately. And as a result, we would know tznius. If a cat is a tznua, we could also be a tznua. The gezel min amala, ants are very careful. They don't steal from each other. The arayos mi yoina, and the yoina, the dove, Rashi says, is enoi niskak elo lebazugoi, so we'd be able to learn this idea from the yoina. Derech eretz mi tarnagol. Additionally, we know derech eretz from a tarnagol, she mefayis vachach boil. My mefayis, so where do you find that the tarnagol is mefayis? His mate, and what exactly does the tarnagol do? Amar Rav Yehuda, my Rav. Hachi Kamala. This is what the tarnagol says. Zov vine lecha ziga to matalechat karech. Before the tashmish, so the tarnagol tells the tarnagolas, I'll buy you a ziga. So what's a ziga? Last line in Rashi, malbush. It's a beged. Shekoyin kota. I'll buy you a coat. That's what he says. Lebasar hachi. Then afterwards, he doesn't buy the coat. So Amale, he says, lishtamite lekarbalte. He says, you can knock off my karbalte. Dahutar negodlil islev lezevnez. What should I do? I'm sorry, I don't have the money. And as a result, I can't end up doing it. But the point is, the tarnagol is mefayis, the tarnagolis, before the tashmish. And as a result, that's considered a anhaga toiva, something that we would be able to learn from the tarnagol, regardless. Daf Kuf ended very much with a digression. We worked through the paper trail in the beginning of the daf as it relates to Raid. We'll get back to this at the end of the daf. But for now, we return to our regular program, which is a little bit Erevin, but really more halachos related to Hilchis Shabbos, specifically Dinei Hoitzah. Zok de Mishnah, Hadeles Shebe Mukta. A Mukta was a backyard. So if somebody has a backyard, and in the back of the backyard, there was a door. The Chadokim Shebe Pirtza. Or if somebody had Chadokim thorns that he used to plug a hole in his fence, u'machatzoles, or if somebody has a mat that he uses as a makeshift door, d'alach is ein noy lemehen. You're not allowed to close those doors on Shabbos. Elam ken gavayim in ha'aretz, unless they're attached to the fence. And not only are they attached, but they're also gevayim in aretz. They're not on the ground, but rather they're suspended. So hatzad hashava between these three things that the Mishnah mentioned, hadelo shebe mukta, chadokim shebe pirtza, and machatzolos, is these were doors, but not your typical door. So these were not your regular doors that you open and close and that you lock, but these were makeshift doors that usually people wouldn't use, but to improvise, sometimes they were used. But what was unique is that being that they weren't regular doors, so very often they would be completely removed when you didn't want them there, and then you would put them up and you would hack it in when you did want them there. So to put them up on Shabbos is a little bit of an issue. And the reason is because it looks like boina. It looks like you're building something. You open and close the door, it doesn't look like boina. And even though the doors then were a little different than they are today, but it is an understanding when a door is a door. But these were not regular doors. This is the deles of a shebe mukta, which wasn't a regular door. Or you're taking thorns and you're plugging a hole with that. You're taking mats and you're plugging a hole with that. These are not regular doors. As a result, when you affix it now to a wall or to a fence, it looks a little bit like you're being boina. So the halacha is, ein noya l'mehem, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos unless they're gevayim in aretz. And Rashi speaks out very, very clearly. These doors would have to be attached to its respective wall in order to be able to do it. That's pashut. That goes without say. If it's not attached, we're not even having this conversation. The chiddush is that even if it's attached, let's say there's a rope that's attaching it, afal pikin, still the halach is going to be, it would have to be hanging to the point that it's not physically on the ground. But if it's physically on the ground, then it's going to be an issue. Of course, this Mishnah is reminiscent of something that we've seen a few times in Masechta Shabbos and even Masechta Erevin, and that is the Nagar HaNigra, right? Very similar to the window shutter, but it's not the same sugya. So the Gemara for a minute. I'll ask you a kasha. Deles hanigreres. If you have a deles that's schlepping on the ground. Umachtelas hanigreres, where you have a mat that's schlepping on the ground. The kankan hanigreres. Kankan Rashi says is the handle of the plow. It's not sure the tlian. In the event that they're tied to this wall that you want to now use it as a door for, the tlian also means tied. Noyim and the Shabbos, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. And certainly you'd be allowed to use it on Yontif. What's the kasha? The Brice is saying the same halacha of the Mishnah, but there's one very big difference. The Brice says delas hanigreres. Even if it's schlepping on the ground, it's going to be okay. In the Mishnah, it said ein noyim mehen ella im kein gevayim in aretz. The only time you're going to be allowed to use it if it's not attached to the ground. So we have a head-on stira. Ein noyim mehen elam kein gevayim in aretz. It sounds like it has to be detached from the ground. It has to be hanging in midair. Delas hanigreres umachzelas hanigreres v'kankan hanigreres. Sounds like it could be schlepping on the ground. So the Gemara Abaya says you have to say that we're talking about two different types of doors, two situations. B'shiyesh lehem tzir. You have to say that this latter brisa that says it doesn't have to be on top of the ground, it doesn't have to be Gvayim and Aretz, is talking about where it had a tzir. So in English, a tzir is a pivot. The point is that it's nicker that it's a door. So if there's something on it that's a simen, that it's a door, so over there we're more mekel, and there the halach is as long as it's attached, even if it's not Gvayim and Aretz, it's going to be okay. Rabba said a similar teretz, but a little bit more of a kula. B'shahayolam tzir, it doesn't physically have to have the tzir right now. As long as it once had the tzir, there's a simen that it was once there, that in and of itself would be okay. In other words, when the Mishnah said that it has to be Gvayim and Aretz, it's talking about where there was no tzir. In the event that there's a tzir, so it's very obvious that this was a door, and is being used as a door, it's obvious that you're not building, you're just literally closing the door. So it's for that reason, it's going to be okay, even if it's not Gevoyim and Aretz. Freik the Gemara Mesvei, Akashim from another Brice, Delos Hanigreres, Umachselos Hanigreres, Vikankan Hanigror, Bizman Shekshurim, Vetluyim, and the Ritva adds, and this is very important, V'yesh Lahem Tzir, Ugvayim in Aretz, Afilu Meloy Nima, even if it's detached from the ground, literally the width of a here, Noyla Behem, you'd be allowed to close it. V'im Lav, and if not, ain't Noyla Behem. What's the Kasha? So without the Ritva's Girsa, it's very hard to know what the Kasha is. But with the Ritva's Girsa, it's very obvious what the Kasha is. What the Brice is saying is that there's two Tanoim in order for you to be able to close the store. Number one, it has to be removed from the ground. And number two, it has to have a tzir. Meaning you need both criteria. We had a Mishnah that said it has to be Gvayim and Aretz, didn't mention anything about a tzir. Then we had a Braisa that says doesn't even have to be Gvayim and Aretz. Abaye and Rava both said either it means there was a tzir or it means there is a tzir. But the point is that either one of them is going to be okay. The Mishnah is telling me one halacha, the Braisa is telling me another halacha, and either one is good. You want to be able to take your Delashev and Muksa and close it? Okay, is it Gvayim and Aretz? That's fine. Is it not Gvayim and Aretz, but there's a tzir? That's also fine. As long as you can check off one of the two boxes, that's going to be okay. The problem is the Gemara with the Braisa, which is mashma, you have to have both. Again, with Ritva's Girsa, it means b'shiyesh lahem tzir, and it's Gvayim and Aretz. So is it other, or is it both? So the Gemara, b'ay metaretz l'tameh, v'rav metaretz l'tameh, b'ay metaretz l'tameh, b'ay is going to explain according to his shita, o'shiyesh lahem tzir, o'shiyesh Gvayim and Aretz. Again, this is an imaginary Girsa. We don't even have the Girsa. But let's edit this Girsa in the Braisa that we don't even have, and it shouldn't say you have to have a tzir and it has to be Gvayim and Aretz, but rather either you have a tzir, either it's Gvayim and Aretz. Rav Matasa to make it Shahayim tzir, or it's Gvayim and Aretz. Rav Lashitasa, you hold it doesn't even have to have a tzir as long as it once had a tzir. So those are the two things. Either it had a tzir, that would be one way for it to be okay, or if it's Gvayim and Aretz, that would be okay as well. Tan Rabban and Abraisa, very much me inyan le inyan ba'is inyan. So if you have bundles of thorns, the chavilin, and sheheskin on the pirtz, or bundles of something else that you use to plug a hole in a wall, shebechatz is not shikshuris v'tluyin. If they're attached, noy lemem b'shabbos, you're allowed to use it to close on Shabbos. And certainly you'll be allowed to use it in a yontiv as well. Again, you would have to make one of two qualifications. Either it's talking about where it's gevayim and aretz, or it's talking about where there's a tzir. Tani Reb Chiya, delis almana. If you have a delis, that's an almana, that's a widow. Hanigreres ein noylem behen. Then the halacha is you're not allowed to use it. Right? Tosfos speaks out that this delis almana is worse than a regular door, and here ein noylem ba, even if it has a tzir. The halacha is you're never allowed to close this door on Shabbos. What is a Del Saman? Some say the Chad Shipa. So usually the doors were made up of two boards that were attached to each other. This only had one of the two boards. Some say the Lespe Gishma. It had two boards, but the regular doors had two boards, and then there was something on top that brought them together. It didn't have that Gishma. The point is, it's not even a regular door. So if it's not even a regular door, you have to be more machmer. Okay, what's the issue? The issue is that if this looks like you're opening and closing a door, we would have no problem. The problem is it doesn't look like that. It looks like binyan. So if it's a door, okay, then we can be mekel. What's the cooler? Either it's kamayim in aretz, we'll be mekel. Or if it has a tzir, we'll be mekel. But in the event where it's a delas amar, it doesn't even look like a door, so then we have no basis to be mekel, and therefore the halacha is we're going to be machmer. Zokte gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, hay medurasa. If somebody's making a meduras, he's taking a bunch of logs of wood, he's piling them up, and he's making this like a bonfire. So the halacha is mimayla lematashari. If you want to put the top up first, and then build the walls on the side. So this is really doing it backwards. So first you're going to have the top, the horizontal part, and then you're going to make the walls. You probably need two people to help you out. But as long as you do it that way, it's going to be okay. Mimata lemaila, awesome. But if you do it in the regular way, you start building it from the ground up, that's not going to be okay. Why? This is a binyan problem. You're making an oil. Yeah, this was a binyan. The same is true if you want to line up eggs on logs of wood. To take the wood and then to put the eggs on top, you just created an oil. The oil is the egg itself. What do you have to do? You hold the egg and you put the logs on bottom. That would be the way to do it. V'chein kidra, the same is true. If you want to take a kedera and put it on top of barrels. So again, putting the kedera on top of two barrels, so it's going to create an oil in the gap between, right, barrel, barrel, and then on top, you're going to have this kedera. Again, you made an oil, so it's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. If you first put the kedera, and then you put the barrels underneath, then it's going to v'chein bapurya. The same is true with regards to a bed. If you put the horizontal part of the bed first, and then you bring the walls, it's going to be okay. If you're doing the reverse order, it's not going to be okay. V'chein chavisa, if you're piling up chavios, a bunch of barrels. So not a kedera on top of a barrel, but barrels on top of barrels. Same aloch, if you put the top one on first, then you can bring the bottom. But if you first put the bottom and then you put at the top, you just created an oil. Another little bit of agadato. Chitka, you are a thorn. Because the pasuk said, this Tzeduki quoted a pasuk in Micha Perek Zayim, Toivam kechedek. The Toivam, literally, the best of the Jews are like thorns. So this Tzeduki went to Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya and he called them a thorn. This is, of course, in line with many Gemaras and Shas, where you find that Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya had a lot of interaction with the Tzedukim. The Gemara with the Chachmi Atuna in the first parak of Masechtas Bechoris, Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, you have it in the first parak of Masechtas Chagiga. So there's many Gemaras where Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya was someone that represented the Yidden, and he was the one that always went out there and he fought against the Tzedukim, against the Neitzrim, etc., etc. But either way, so the Tzeduki went to Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, and he varved the pasuk in Nach. He told him, Nicha Perek Zayin, Toivam Kechedek, you're like a thorn. Amaleisa, he told him, Shat, you fool. Shafel the Sefer, look at the end of the pasuk. But the next words, Dechsiv, Yashar, Mi Mesucha. The Toivim, they're better than Mesucha. What's Mesucha? Meloshen Sukkah, they protect. The Ela, my Toivim Kechedek. So what does it mean, Toivim Kechedek? Shem Shechadakim Bolu Maginim Ala Peretz. So it's the same idea. The Toivim, they're like a Sukkah, they protect from the sun. And the Toivim also are like thorns in that they can be used to plug a hole. Kach Toivim Shabanu Meginim Aleinu. Like we saw in our Mishnah, the Chadakim Shebe Peretz. That's why the Gemara is bringing it over here. That sometimes you can use a thorn in a very positive way. You can use it to plug a hole. Davar Acher, another pshat. What toivam kechedek means shemahadkin es harishon legehenim, because the toivim they force the rishon into gehenim. Shenemar, the pasuk says kumi vadoishi basiyon ki karnech asim barzel ufar soisayich asim nechusha vhadigois amim rabim, that they're gonna be, referring to the Rishon, they're going to be forced into Gehenim, and that's what it means. Toivam kechedek. Kechedek is actually Miloshen Hadek. The Ches and the Hey interchange sometimes, so it's not Miloshen Thorn, but it's Miloshen Hadek, that they're going to be stopped into Gehenim. Zok the Mishnah Vaitel. Yeah, but other Mishnah Sayachet. Person that will stand in Mishnah Sayachet, Yiftach Mishnah Sarabim, and open something up in Mishnah Sarabim. So this Mishnah is very much related to the Mishnah that we had on Daf Tzadik Ches on the Beis, where somebody's standing in a Mishnah Sayachet, and he's going to be doing something in Rishus Rabbah. So to carry from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Rabbah, of course he can't though. From Rishus Rabbah to Rishus Hayachid is the same thing. What about, can I stand in Rishus Hayachid and move something in Rishus Rabbah? Can I stand in Rishus Hayachid and drink something in Rishus Rabbah? So the Mishnah discussed that on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, and this Mishnah is very much related to that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, a person is not allowed to stand in Rishus Hayachid and pick up a key that's in a Rishus Rabbah and open up a lock that's in the Rishus Rabbah. So again, you're not really carrying anything. You're standing in the Rishus Hayachid. Your hand is going to be in the Rishus Rabbah. You're going to lift something up in the Rishus Rabbah. That's the key. You're going to open up a door in the Rishus Rabbah. As long as you weren't metaltal, dal, and amas in the Rishus Rabbah, you didn't do anything. You didn't carry from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Rabbah. The key was in the Rishus Rabbah. You didn't move it dal, and amas in the Rishus Rabbah because you just didn't. The key was within dal, and amas of the lock. After peeking, you're not allowed to do it. Additionally, the yifta Rishus Hayachid, a person is not allowed to stand in a Rishus Rabbah and open something up in a Rishus Hayachid. Meaning, in the reverse, it's also true. Elam kein asa mechitza gevaya. This is referring to the latter part of the Mishnah. Unless you made a mechitza around the area in the Rishus Rabbim that you're in, so that now you're in a Rishus Hayachid, even though technically you're in a Rishus Rabbim, but you're surrounded by mechitzas, which halachically makes you in a Rishus Hayachid, so then the halach would be, you're allowed to pick up the key and close. That's not going to be an issue, because you're technically in a Rishus, even though you're in a Rishus Rabbim, but halachically you're really in a Rishus Hayachid. So the Chachamim told Rav Meir, so again, what did Rav Meir say? A person is not allowed to stand in a Rishus Hayachid, open up a key, a lock in a Rishus Rabbim. You're not allowed to stand in a Rishus Rabbim, open up a lock in a Rishus Hayachid. So they told Rav Meir, I said there was a story, B'shuk shel patamim. This was one of the shukos where they used to fatten the animals. Shehayu b'Yerushalayim, she'enoyalim u'menichin es ha'mafteich b'chaloyin she'agav ya'pesach, where they used to open and close the doors of their stores while they were standing in Yerushalayim, and they would take the key and they would put it on top of the chaloyin. So it sounds like you are allowed to stand in a Rishus Rabbah and open up something that's inside a Rishus Hayachid. Rabbi Yossi said that I agree with everything that the Chachamim said, but just one edit. That story did not take place in the Shuk Shal Patamim, but rather Shuk Shal Tzamarim Havet. It took place in the Shuk of the Tzamarim, in the place where they used to sell wool. But the point is that the Chachamim were telling Rav Meir, how can you, Rav Meir, say a person is not allowed to stand in a Rishus Rabbah and open and close something in a Rishus Hayachid? Whether it was the Shuk Shal Patamim or whether it was the Shuk Shal Tzamarim, this is something that happened. Again, what happened? People would stand outside in the Shuk, they would take their key, and they would open and close the lock. So you see that even though they were standing outside, which presumably is a Rishus Rabbah, and they were being metaltal something in a Rishus Hayachid, the halach is that what they did was not okay. Now, why was the thing that they were being metaltal Rishus Hayachid? So we're going to get more into this in tomorrow's daf. But just the pashup shot, now even for the Mishnah, the reason is because the assumption is that this lock that they were opening and closing was, number one, 4 tfachim wide, and it was more than 10 tfachim above the ground, which means it had the status of a Rishus Hayachid. So when they took the key that was above the locked area, and they then opened up the lock, they were within the confines of the Rishus Hayachid. So even though they were standing in a Rishus Rabbah, they would be metalkal something in a Rishus Hayachid, which is precisely what Rameir said you're not allowed to do. So that's what the Chum told Rameir. How can you tell me you're not allowed to do it? You see from this story, whether it was the Shuk Shal Patamim or whether it was the Shuk Shal Tzamarim, it's something you are allowed to do. Zok to Gemara v'Rabbanan, Amar Rab Meir, Rishus Rabbah, u'mahadri inu kamelus. How do you understand the Mishnah? Rameir said a halacha, a person is not allowed to stand in a Rishus Hayachid, open something up in a Rishus Rabbah. A person is not allowed to stand in a Rishus Rabbah, open something up in a Rishus Hayachid. Unrelay. So the Chachamim came to Rameir, and they told him, how can you tell me that's true? There was a story in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asks the Geshmak Akasha, in light of something that we saw a few times coming full circle here in Mesechtes Erevin, you're asking me a Akasha about a Rishus Rabbim from Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim wasn't a Rishus Rabbim. Yerushalayim was a Carmelist. Because Rabbi Rachanan said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Yerushalayim, as relates to the city of Yerushalayim, where not for the fact that its doors were closed every night, one would be chayiv for carrying Dalet Amos, like one is chayiv for carrying in Rishus Rabbim. The point is, you see that Yerushalayim did not have a din of Rishus Harabim. Ilmali dalsoy seyan nin alois. Chayavon alem Rishus Harabim. But the doors were closed at night. And because they were closed at night, it didn't have a din of Rishus Harabim. What did it have a din of? It had a din of a Carmelist. If that's the case, what's the kasha? Rabbi Meir said you can't stand in the Rishus Harabim and open and close the door in the Rishus Hayochid. Even though you're not being metaltal anything in the Rishus Harabim, you're being metaltal in the Rishus Hayochid. It's not something that you're allowed to do. Okay, Chamim came and they said, what do you mean? Maisa shaya kachaya. In Yerushalayim, they used to take... Yerushalayim was a Carmelist. Yerushalayim wasn't a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim is more common than a Carmelist. Maybe Rav Meir only said his halacha in a Rishus HaRabim. Maybe he never said his halacha in a Carmelist. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, Kan koydin shenifritzo piritzois. Kan la'acha shenifritzo piritzois. Yeah, once upon a time, Yerushalayim was surrounded by walls. And they used to close the gates at night. As a result, Yerushalayim had a din of a Carmelist. It didn't have a din of a Rishus HaRabim. However, Ubo pritzim v'chilalu. Ufartzu chaymas migdalai. In Yana de Yayma. The Yevanim came and they destroyed the... Of course, it's referring to the walls of the Harabayas. But there was also an idea that they came and they took down the walls of Yerushalayim. And once the walls had pirtzes that were more than 10 amis wide, at that point, the walls are not considered walls anymore. So if that's the case, once it was Nifritzu ba pirtzes, even Yerushalayim, even though the doors were locked that night, now it had a din of a Carmelist. And if it had a din of a... It had a din of a Rishus HaRabim. Had a din of a Rishus HaRabim. That's what Chama told Ramey. Ramey, you tell him you can't stand in a Rishus HaRabim. Open something up in a Rishus HaYochid. What do you mean? It happened in Yerushalayim after it was already Nifritzu Chaymos. So if it was after the Piritzu of the Chaymos, and still you see they did it, so you see that even Yerushalayim is good. Rabbah, Rabbah said a different Teret. Seifa, Asan, L'Sharei Gino. You have to say a Chasurei Mechzer V'Hachiktani. So even though the Gemara doesn't use the words Chasurei Mechzer V'Hachiktani, but essentially what the Gemara is about to do is the Gemara is going to create a Seifa. A Seifa that we don't have, and by creating the Seifa, everything is going to fall into place. In other words, the Seifa is talking about the entranceway to a garden. What's unique about a garden? A garden is a Carmelist. Now, the truth is, why should a garden be a Carmelist? Not so pasha. A garden that's surrounded by four walls should be a Rishus HaYochid. But if it's Yoisim Mibeis Hasayim, it's a Karfif Shaloi Hukaf Ladira, right? Your classic Karfif is a garden because it's Loi Hukaf Ladira. People don't live in a garden. So being that it's Loi Hukaf Ladira, if it be Yoisim Mibeis Hasayim, now we'd get a din of a Carmelist. So we're going to insert a Seifa, the Seifa that's talking about a Carmelist, and then we'll understand the Chacham. So what's the Seifa? A person shouldn't stand in a Rishus HaYochid and open a Rishus HaRabim. Shouldn't stand in a Rishus HaRabim and open in a Rishus HaYochid. V'chein, Rameir, continue. We don't have this in the Mishnah. But this is the Chasurei Mechzer. A person also shouldn't stand in a Rishus HaYochid and open something in a Carmelist. The Carmelist, a person shouldn't stand in a Carmelist. V'yiftach b'Rishus HaYochid. Elam kein asa mechitza g'vayasar tvacham. Unless he make a mechitza. You make a mechitza in the Rishus HaRabim, make a mechitza in a Carmelist, everything's going to be okay. What's an example of a Rishus HaRabim? We know what that is. What's an example of a Carmelist? Agina, that's Yosef Mibes Hasayim. That would be your Carmelist. But either way, it was on the second thing that Rameir said. Rameir said Carmelist. Oh, Amrulai. So the Chachamim told Rameir, Maisa, there was a story. B'shuk shal patamim, shahoyi b'rushalayim, shahoyi noyalim, umanichin az maftech, b'chalein jagabi apesa. Same exact story, verbatim in the Mishnah. But now we understand the Mishnah. Because now, the Chachamim brought a raya from a Carmelist, and Rameir, in fact, said his halach about a Carmelist. Rabbi Yosef said, shuk shal tzamarim. Again, Rabbi Yosef is just editing. Rabbi Yosi, by the way, Stam Rabbi Yosi in Shas is Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta. Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, in addition to being the great Tana Rabbi Yosi ni Mukayimai, Rabbi Yosi was also the author of the Seder Olam, which was really the first classic history work that we have. And Rabbi Yosi was a historian in addition to all his other greatness. So that's why you find a lot of history knaches that are attributed to Rabbi Yosi. This is another very subtle example. Rabbi Yosi says it wasn't a Shuk Shal Patamim, it was Shuk Shal Tzamar. Rabbi Yosi is an authority when it comes to all things history. But the bottom line is that we have a Mishnah is discussing a person standing in a Rishus HaYochid, he's being metaltal in a Rishus HaRabim. You're standing in a Rishus HaRabim, you're being metaltal in a Rishus HaYochid. You're standing in a Rishus HaYochid, being metaltal in a Carmelist. You're standing in a Carmelist, you're being metaltal in a Rishus HaYochid. What's the nature of this tiltal? Very, very specific. We're talking about you're going to pick up a key in the other Rishus and you're going to open and close the door. According to Rameir, it's not okay. According to Chamim, it is okay. And Chamim even had a raya. What was the raya? The raya was from the Shuk Shal Patamim Shahaya Bi Yerushalayim. At first glance, it would only be a raya that it's okay by a Carmelist. And according to Rav and Chinami, the Chacham only proving their point as it relates to Carmelis. Rav Papa said it could be that story took place after the walls of Yerushalayim had already been breached. And there were breaches that were at least 10 amos wide. In which case, the walls are not walls. In which case, then Yerushalayim, all of a sudden, just based on the volume of people and the width of the streets, etc., etc., now would have a din of Rosh Hashanah. And if that's the case, the Raya, not like Rav Meir, not only as it relates to what Rav Meir said about Carmelis, but also as it relates to what Rav Meir said about Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to do something that we don't usually do, and that is we're going to exhale a little prematurely. We'll pick up the rest of the daf tomorrow, but for now, hashtag light raid, just to go back to the beginning of the daf, and to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about at the end of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara, Masechtas Erevin, daf kuf, brought a braisa. Eser klolois niskala l'chava. After Chava played her role with the Eitz Hadas, so she was cursed. She wasn't only cursed, but she was given 10 klolos. The pasuk says, "Eloha isha amar harba arba itzvoynech vehironech be'etzav tel dibanim vel ishach tishukasech v'hu yimshalbach." And the Gemara went on to explain what these 10 klolos were. In that pasuk alone, there are 7. Harba arba is referring to shnei tipei damim, achas dam nida v'achas dam besulim. Etzvoynech is sargidol banim. Heironech is the pain of pregnancy. Be'etzav tel dibanim, that's the pain of childbirth. El ishach tishukasech, absence makes the heart grow fonder. V'hu yimshalbach, a woman only has the right to be teveh b'leif. She doesn't have the right to be teveh b'peh. The Gemara said, what are the other 3 klolos? Right, we mentioned that there's 10 klolos. We only mentioned 3. So the Gemara had 2 versions of what the other 3 might be. Us Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said, atufa ka'avel, she has to cover her hair like an avel. Uminud mikalada means she can only have 1 husband, she can't have 2. The chavusha means kol kfuda bas melech penima. The Gemara then brought a brice and had another 3. Number 1, migadala ser kalila, she grows her hair very long, like lilis, yoyshevis umashtenis mayim ki behemo, when she urinates, it's like a behemo, venasis kar lobaila b'shas tashmish, she is lamata. The Marsha in the Chedushi HaGadis on this Gemara asks a very famous kasha. Elohisha amar, harba arba itzvoynech veheroinech. Etzvoynech, the Gemara says, is sar gidol banim. Veheroinech is sar o'ibur, it's the tsar of pregnancy. Faith the Marsha, the order should have been the reverse. First, the woman has the pain of pregnancy, and then afterwards, she has the pain of tzar gidol banim, right? First, she has to walk around with the child for 9 months, causes tzaras, and then afterwards, she has the baby, and she raises the children, and comes tzar gidol banim. So, Freit de Marsha, isn't this out of order? It should have been, hey, reinech ve'etzvaynech. What's it zvaynech, tzar gidol banim, and afterwards, hey, reinech, afterwards, tzar leder. The Teres Chaim on this Gemara right here says a beautiful pshat, al derech pshat. He says the real klala of Chava, of Heroinech, is not her first pregnancy. It's her second pregnancy, it's her third pregnancy. After she has children already, and now she's carrying a child, that's the real Heroinech. That's the real Tsar Heroinech. So Enochinami, the first pregnancy comes before Tsar Gidulbana, but that's not the klala. The klala is not the first pregnancy, it's the second and the third. It's after there's already children. You already have Tsar Gidulbana. And at that point, she's pregnant again. That's the real Tsar Gidulbana. The Velt says a different shot. The Velt says, based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daflamet, the Gemara over there goes through the first 12 hours of Brias Ha'olam. So Adam and Chava were created on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, on Friday. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bar Chanina, Shtei Mesri Shoyz Havi Ayoyim. The day is made up of 12 hours. Shor Rishoyno, the first hour of Yoyim Hashishi, Hutzbar Afron. Kadosh Baruch Hu went and he gathered the offer from which Adam Arishon was going to be born. Shnei, the second hour of the day, Nasa Goylam, the form of Adam Arishon was put into place. Shlishis, the third hour, Nimtachu Evarev, Zevarim. Revius, the fourth hour of the day, Nizruku by Neshama, he got his Neshama. Chamishis, the fifth hour of the day, Amad Al Raglav, he stood up. Shishis, the sixth hour of the day, Kara Shemois, he started calling all the animals' names. Shvius, the seventh hour, Nizdav Goloi Chava. So in the seventh hour of the day, Adam Rishon got married to Chava. Shminis, the eighth hour, Olu L'mita Shnayim. Adam and Chava went to the bed, 2 people, V'yardu Abba, and Cain and Hevel were born. She is the ninth hour, Nitzav Shalachman, he was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Asir is in the tenth hour, Sarach, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Achad Asri, Nida, in the 11th hour of the day, he was punished. Shtei Masri, Nitrat, V'halach Loi, he was thrown out of Gan Eden. But either way, if you go through the Gemara, so the Gemara says that first Cain and Hevel were born, And then afterwards, Adam Rishon was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And then Sarach, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. He was judged. And ultimately, he was punished. But when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, at that point, Cain and Hevel were already born. If that's the case, Zok de Welt, and I've seen this tarot in many different places, it comes out that which klala went into effect first? The klala of Tzar Gidol Banim. Because when Chava was told, it's voinech, the heroinech, at that point, the it's voinech was negay immediately. She had two children. She had Cain and Hevel. And because she had Cain and Hevel, and she was just told it's voinech, Tzar Gidol Banim, so this was something that practically was negay right away. Heroinech wasn't going to be negay yet until the next pregnancy. That's why it was it's voinech, the heroinech. Because chronologically, that's the one that went into effect first. First it was it's voinech, and only afterwards it was heroinech. I saw in Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, Sefer Al HaTorah, in the Maril Diskin, he says another pshat. He says a pshat based on a Gemara, Mesechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Everyone knows the Gemara. Bas Tchila, Simen Yafal Abanim. If a person has a girl first, it's a Simen Yafal Abanim. So why is it a Simen Yafal Abanim? So the Gemara says two pshatim. One pshat the Gemara says is, Mepnei Shem Megadeles Es Acher HaNeilodim Achareh. Because when a mother has an oldest daughter, so the daughter helps out with the younger children. And because she helps out with the younger children, it's Simen Yafal Abanim. Because like this, there's another set of hands. Someone else is going to take care. If you have a Ben Tchila, it's not a Simen Yafal Abanim. If you have a Bas Tchila, then it is Simen Yafal Abanim. So said Rabbi Shuleib, Adav Neira. He says, it comes out every single girl, she has Tzar Gidol Banim. Before she ever has her own child, she has the Tzar Gidol Banim of raising her siblings. So he says, because she has the Tzar Gidol Banim of raising her siblings, that's why it's Tzvaynech first and Heroinech afterwards. Yeah, the mother, it's Heroinech and Tzvaynech. But this woman already had Tzar Gidol Banim. Now with her children, with her siblings. Bas Tchila Simen Yafi Lubanim Neshim Gadalis Esachel and Neilodim Acharel. So Zok Rabbi Shule, maybe that's why it's Tzvaynech first, and that's why it's only afterwards it's Heroinech. Incidentally, not for today. But we've spoken on many times in the past that Rav Meir Simcha Meshech Chachma says that we know that men are mitzvah in the mitzvah of Puravu, but women do not have the mitzvah of Puravu. Says, why not? Says, because the Torah is derachea darchei noyam, v'chol nisivei seh shalim. The Torah will never command the person to do something that's cool and unusual. And you see from the Gemara that for a woman to have a child, it involves so many klolos. There's the tzar of the ibor, there's the tzar of the leida, there's the tzar of the gidul banim, and the Torah would never obligate a person to do something that the Torah knows. For a man to have children, it's not a big deal. But for a woman to have children, it entails all this tzar. And derachea darchei noyam, v'chol nisivei seh shalim, so Meir Simcha said the Torah couldn't be mitzvah a woman to have children. Wouldn't be fair. Torah would never tell a person to go do something that's going to cause him so much pain. The man has the mitzvah. The woman doesn't have the mitzvah. And because she's in, and why does she have a mitzvah? What's the time of the krah? It's precisely because of this pasuk. Because hello, Isha Amar, Harba Arba Tzvaynich Ve'Yroinich. Rabbi Simcha says, if you take a look, right in the beginning, in the sixth day of creation, where Hashem created Adam and Chava. So right in the beginning, right away, Mamish Vayoyim Hashishi. So the pasuk says, Hashem told Adam, Pru Urvu Milu Asa Aretz. Pru Urvu is a Lashon Rabbim. In Parshas Noach, Hashem told Noach, Pray Urveh. Pray Urveh. Pay Reish Heh is a Lashon Yachid. Says Ramei Simcha said, why the Shinoi? How come in the beginning it was Pru Urvu B'Lashon Rabbim? And over there it's only Pray Urveh B'Lashon Yachid. He says, because Vayit Bayoy Mashishi, Vayichul Hashemayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzavam, Bayoy Mashishi, when Adam HaRishon was created. So at that point, there was no Eitz Hadas yet. Because there was no Eitz Hadas, you didn't have the klolo of its Tzvoynech, the Heroinech, of the Etziv Tel Dibonim. As a result, there was no reason to pat the Roman for Pru Urvu. So Pru Urvu B'Lashon Rabbim. But in Parshas Noach, that's already after the Chet of Eitz Hadas. That's already after the Chet of Eitz Hadas. That's Pray Urveh. Then already it's going to be B'Lashon Yachid. But the truth is that there's another interesting direction that we can take this whole Dvar Agada. And that is, so the Gemara says that because of Chava's role that she played with the Eitz, that she played with the Eitz Hadas, so Elo Isha Amar Arba Arba. And the Gemara says, what's Harba Arba? So we spoke a little bit about it. Tzvoynech Heroinech and Be'etziv Tel Dibonim. But what does Harba Arba mean? So the Gemara says that Shnei Tipei Dam, it's referring to two types of blood. Achas Dabnida, the Achas Dam Besulim. In the beginning of Masechtas Erevin, we mentioned the Dover Nifla in Primius Atayra from the Ramah in his Sefer Torah Sa'ola. The Ramah says that all Tumah comes from Chet. The first Chet was the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, which means that the Shoresh of all Tumah in the world is the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. All Tumah that we have, all comes from the Eitz Hadas. So he says, I'll tell you a Dover Nifla. He says, a woman is metama damnida. Damnida is red, different colors, shades of red. But a woman is only metama damnida. The Gemara says that a man who has dam that comes from his aver, he doesn't become tame. A man only becomes tame if zera comes out of his guf, and the color of zera is lavan, it's white. A woman is metama when something red comes from her body. Arba, arba, shneti beidahan. Whereas a man is metama beloivan, when zera, which is white, comes out of his body. Said the Rama, what's the oimek? He says, the oimek is because the Gemara says, Mesechtes Erevin, daf yudches amid beis. Adam Arishan was a big chassid. When Adam Arishan realized the Taitsa, what happened because of the Averi that he did, he fasted for 130 years. And was punished from his wife for 130 years. Adam Arishan took upon himself an incredible, incredible journey of tshuva. 130 years of tshuva. We spoke of the Ramami Pano that Tainus was a begamatria 930. He really fasted for 930 years, not only for 130 years. V'advar matikim, this is all raid that we spoke about on Daf Yudches and Mesechtes Erevin. Earlier in the Mesechta, but said the Ramah, Adam Arishan did tshuva. You don't find anywhere that Chava did tshuva. The Pasuk says that Chet is red. Kapara is white. Im yu chato'echem kashonim, kashelo yalbinu. Im yadimu katoilo, katzemer yu. Im yu chato'echem kashonim. If the Chet is going to be red, kashelim yalbinu. It's going to turn white like snow. Im yadimu, miloshen Edoim. It's going to be red like toila. Katzemer you. It's going to be white. It's going to be white like wool. So Adam Arishon, who did tshuva, so his tumma became white. It was whitened, his tumma. And because it was whitened, therefore, a man is metama beloivim. But Chava, who never did tshuva, so because she never did tshuva, so her chet was still chatoeichen kashonim. It was still yadimu katoila. And therefore, her tumma is red. So arba, arba, ishnei tipei damim, it's red, and it would remain red. You know why? Because Chava never did tshuva. Adam Arishon did tshuva, that's the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yudches on the base. But you don't ever find that Chava did tshuva. And he said, because you don't find the Chava did tshuva, so that's why the tumma of the Isha, which is all a direct result of chet, which traces itself back to the first chet, the chet of the Eitz Hadas, which there was never any tshuva done, so it's still chatoechem kashanim, it's yadimu katoilo, so that's why her tumma is also red. That's why dam nida is red. Whereas Adam Arishon that did tshuva, so it was kashela yalbinu, it was katzemer yiyu. So for that reason, the tumma of Adam, the tumma of all men, would always be live and it would always be white, because that's a remnant to the fact that Adam Arishon, it's a remnant to the fact that Adam Arishon did tshuva. Rabbi Yanki Bleier had a beautiful isofa to this. He said that Adam Arishon, what was his klala? B'zeyas apecha toich alechem. Right, that was the klala of Adam Arishon. What was the klala of Chava? Today's daf. Arba, arba, all the different klolis. The Daskein and Balei Tosfos on the pasuk Bezeyas Apecha Toich Alechem says, quote, Nimtza b'sefer Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Shezu haklolo eina miskayemes elo ba'ovdei adamo. V'loi b'malachim b'sarim. The klolo of Adam Arishon, the klolo of Bezeyas Apecha Toich Alechem is something that not everybody has. Most people have it, but says that Daskein and Balei Tosfos, there are people that don't have the klala of B'seyas HaPecha Toich Alechem. Now, Adam La'amol Yulad, every person was put in this world to be tested and to have to fight and to struggle and to grapple. That's for sure. Every person is always in a matzav of nisayon, like the Ramchal says in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim. But as it relates to this particular klala of B'zeyas HaPecha Toich Alechem, so the Daskein brings from Yehuda Chassid, this is not miskayemis by everybody. Loi b'malachim, v'loi v'sarim, they don't have the problem B'zeyas HaPecha Toich Alechem. Avu be'etzvi tel dibonim miskayemis b'chal anashim. He said, but be'etzvi tel dibonim, no such thing. You can't say, oh, she's a bas melech, she comes from a certain family, for her it's a joke, it's not a big deal. That's something that's for everybody. Why? What's the reason? So Yehuda Chassid said, Lefisha Isha Chata Vehechatiya Leficha Kilolasa Meruba. Adam Arishon sinned with the Eitz Hadas. He was a Chayte. But Chava sinned and she caused Adam to sin. Chava was a Chayte Umachti. And a Chayte Umachti is more chomer than just a Chayte. A Chayte, B'zeyas HaPecha Toich Alechem, but Amol Yeh Amol Nish. But someone that's Chayte Umachti, that's more chomer. And Chayte Umachti Kilolasa Meruba, and that's why the Klolois of the Isha, the Esek Klal, those are Klalos, specifically, Be'etzvi told the Ibanim, that's a Klal that every single woman has, no such thing that she's from the Melachim and the Sarin, that she was born into a family, and because of that, she doesn't have to worry about Be'etzvi told the Ibanim. So Rabbi Yanki was Moisa beautiful. We know the Mishnah says in Ovis, that if someone's Chayti Umachti, Ema speaking beyond the last is Tshuva. Adam Arisha did Tshuva, because Adam Arisha was only a Chayte, and a Chayte was able to do Tshuva. But Chava was a Chayti Umachti. A Chayti Umachti is very different. Ema speaking last is Tshuva. That doesn't mean you can't do Tshuva. But who is the most classic Chayti Umachti of all time? You're often Medavat, right? He's a Chayti Umachti as a rabbi. He's the, and we know the Gemara in Perek Chelik, where the Eivishter comes to Adam, to Yerovah Medavat and said, Chazar Bach Vani Vatob Ben Yishai Netayl Began Edom. But it means there's it's much more difficult for someone that's Chayti Umachti to do Tshuva than for someone that's only Chayti. Adam Arishan was a Chayti. Adam Arishan did Tshuva. Chava was Chayti Umachti. Chayti Umachti, Ema speaking, Beyodah Lasses Tshuva. But as it relates to Adam Arishan's Tshuva, there's a Medrash, a classic Medrash in Parshas Bereishis. The Medrash is in Parsha Chav Beis, it's Sif Katan Yud Gimel. The Medrash says that after Cain killed Hevel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged Cain, and Cain pleaded with Hashem, Paga by Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan met his son Cain. Amalei, so he turns to his son and says, Ma Nasa B'dincha? Tell me, whatever happened? What was the end of the story? Like, how did it play out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amalei, so he told him, Asisi Tshuva V'nis Pasharti. He said, I did Tshuva, and I was able to work out a compromise, Milashim Shara, and I got off the hook. Hischel Adam Arishan metapech al panav. When Adam Arishan heard that, he started banging on his face. Amar, he said, Kachi koicha shal tshuva, v'ani loyo yisi yodeya. This is the koicha of tshuva. I never knew this is the koicha of tshuva. Miyad, immediately, Adam Arishan got up, v'amar, and he said, Mizmer shili yoy mashabas. We know Mizmer shili yoy mashabas. The shiri that we sing on Shabbos, where does it come from? Adam Arishan sang it. When did Adam Arishan sing it? Now you know the rest of the story. Adam Arishan meets Cain. He says, tell me, whatever happened? Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti. Hischol Adam Arishan. Kachi koicha shal tshuva v'ani loya yisi yodea miyad amad Adam Arishan v'amar. And he said, mizma shili yoyim ha-Shabbos. And the truth is, this is a medrash plea. Literally, it's a medrash plea. So Adam Arishan hears, wow, I never knew tshuva such a koyach. Wow, kachi koyach shal tshuva. So what did he do? He got up and he said, Mizmer shir liyoyim ha-Shabbos. I saw a davar nifla in a drasha from Rav Shlomo Fisher in his Sefer Drasha's Beis Yishai. So we mentioned part of this drasha, Erev Rosh Hashanah of this past year. So we mentioned part of this drasha, but this is the Hosafa. We mentioned just the chazar of one prat that we spoke out then. And that is, the Arizal said, that Rizal said that even though Adam and Chava were told that they're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but really, they were only told that they weren't allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas until Shabbos. Adam and Chava were created on Erev Shabbos. They were told, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Toicha, but from the Eitz that knows Toivera, that stay away from. Pashut, it sounds like they were told they'd never be able to eat from that tree. But that Rizal was Megala from Pnimius HaTorah, it's not true. He said, really, they were going to be allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But they weren't allowed to eat from it on Erev Shabbos. They were going to have to wait until Shabbos. The Arizal said that the Eitz Hadas Erev Shabbos was like unripened fruit. He referred to it as paga. And they were told that this paga, these unripened dates, this is something they weren't going to be allowed to eat. But eventually, they were going to ripen on Shabbos Kodesh, and then they were going to be allowed to. And the chet of the Eitz Hadas was that Adam couldn't wait until Shabbos. Couldn't wait until Shabbos. So the Arizal said as follows. He said the word Adam is Rosh Hatevis. Adam, David and Mashiach. He said the chet of Adam Arishan was that he couldn't wait. And Nishke can't vart it. He couldn't hold himself back. He wanted it now. He wanted it Erev Shabbos. He didn't want to have to wait for Shabbos. He said David HaMelech also sinned. He also sinned. And what was the sin of David HaMelech? The signature Aveir was about the Maisa with Batsheva. But at the same, David HaMelech said the Chatosi L'negdi Somin. David HaMelech did tshuva his whole life on the chet of Batsheva. What was the chet? The chet was Ish as Ish. David HaMelech could have waited for Batsheva not to be an Eish HaSish anymore. But he couldn't wait, that Rizal said. He didn't want to wait. Adam Rishon didn't want to wait until Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas. David didn't want to wait for Batsheva to no longer be an Eish HaSish. And he took her as an Eish HaSish. So he said, you know what the Tikkun's going to have to be? The Tikkun's going to be Mashiach. Adam, David, Mashiach. That's Adam. What's Mashiach? Klai Yisrael's going to have to wait for Mashiach. He said, because of the fact that Adam didn't wait. And he said, because of the fact that David didn't wait, so Klai Yisrael has to wait. Im Yisma Meach HaKeloi U'Mashiach Atzma Yoshev U'Mechakir, said the Arizal. The Tikkun for the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. The Tikkun for the Chet of Adam Arishan. The Tikkun for the Chet of David and Batsheva. What was the Pgam? The Pgam was Pachas Kamayim. They couldn't wait. Nishke kent anhalten. You know what the tikkun is? That for doiri doiris, for 5,000 years, we're going to still be waiting. We're going to wait for Mashiach. Imis mameach hakele. That's what that reason was megala. So Reb Shlomo Fischer said, al derech zeh, yeh Shlomo, that's pshat in this medrash plier. The medrash says that, pogo bay odom arishin, omali man asa bedincho. So, Chaim said, al sisi tshuva venis pasharti. Other he said, wow, kanchi koicha shal tshuva vani lo yoyisi adeya, miad odom odom arishin, va omar mizmer shil yema. What does mizmer shil yema Shabbos have to do with anything? So, the Reb Shlomo Fischer said, loy tarizal, it's mavur, that a chelik of the chet of the Eitz Hadas was, that odom arishin didn't want to wait for Shabbos. He said he was allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But this was Shabbos food, and instead it became Toyamah food, right? He was supposed to wait until Shabbos. And had he waited for Shabbos, there would have been no chet. So Nichal in the chet was a lack of chashivas for Shabbos. Because had Adam and Rishon appreciated Vostos main Shabbos Kodesh, he would out Shabbos. Shammai saved everything for Shabbos. Had Adam and Rishon done that, and he would have saved the Eitz Hadas for Shabbos, there would have never been a chet. And Adam and Rishon realized that included in his chet was, what was his chet? It was a lot of things, but included one of the subtleties of the chet of the Eitz Hadas was a lack of chashivos of Shabbos. It was a pgam in Shabbos. Because had he fashteyed Shabbos properly, he would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. He would have saved it for Shabbos. Zocher seim Shabbos lekachay. Everything you do, you save for Shabbos. So in Adam Rishon realized, meken tshuvaton. So what was his tshuva? Mizmer shil yom HaShabbos. His tshuva was menach mesakin zayin Shabbos. And that's why his tshuva was mizmer shil yom HaShabbos. But I was thinking, and we'll end with this, maybe to say a little bit differently. And that is, the lashon of the medrash is, what did Adam Rishon say? He said, "Kachi koicha shel tshuva v'ani lo yisi yodea." It doesn't sound like Kayin was megala to Adam Rishon the concept of tshuva. It sounds like he was well aware of the concept of tshuva. But what he wasn't aware of was the koyach of tshuva. He said, "Kachi koicha shel tshuva." Wow, tshuva is so incredible. Adam Rishon did tshuva. The Gemara says in Erev and Yudches Amibay is immediately 130 years of Taneisim. Nobody says that as the Ramami Pano says he was mekabel all those Taneisim when he davened Mincha. That's why the most chashuv of all the tefillas is tefillas Amincha, because that's when Adam Rishon was mespalel for the first time, etc., etc. Adam Rishon did tshuva immediately. Miyad. He did tshuva way before Kayin killed Hevel. He did tshuva immediately. There's no question Adam Rishon did tshuva immediately. But you know what he didn't realize? He didn't realize the koyach of tshuva. What's mizmer shil yom HaShabbos? So we don't have time for this. But it's to do with the Brisker Rav in Sefer and Parashas Bereishis says that Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos was the Shvach Vahidah that Adam Rishon gave on the Bria. He says when you see lightning, you hear thunder, you see the Grand Canyon, you see the Swiss Alps, you go around, you see the Neflay Sabayr, you make a bracha, you sing Shira. He said, Adam Rishon saw the Bria for the first time. This was a chiddush of the entire Bria. So what did he say? Toiv lahoides Lashem, moit amku machshav isecha. He started talking about magodlu masech Hashem, the greatness of the Bria. This was sheer on the entire Bria. Adam Rishon's mizmer shil yom HaShabbos said the Brisker Rav, ayin shavetz kedai, was sheer on the Bria. So what happened? He had to hear from Kayin, koichesh al tshuva, in order to say shira. I think the pshat is that Adam Rishon knew when he saw the world, but that was in Shira. The world was created, it was finished on Shabbos, that's what Brisker Rav said. 10 things ben Ashmashes, ba Shabbos, ba Menucha. That's why on Shabbos, Adam Rishon said, Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos. But he felt, who am I to sing Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He felt, I just did such a terrible Aveira. Right? I just did this awful, awful Aveira. I just ate from the Eitz Hadas. I'm going to get up and I'm going to say Shira. I'm going to say, Shekoichai Gvurasei Moli Yoylam. I'm going to say, Oysa Maise Bereishis. I'm going to daven Shmoyne Esrei, Mogen Avram, Hokei LaKadosh. Who am I to do that? Ich bin gar nicht. I just did such a terrible aveira. I was just nichsha on the chet of the Eitz Hadas. How am I going to say shira? When he heard the koich of tshuva, he said, "Kachi koich." He didn't say, "Oh, there's something called tshuva." No. Kachi koich shel tshuva v'ani loyo yisi modeh. If that's the case, I'm shuldig a shira. I have to sing shira on the bria. Miyad amad ad marisha v'amad mizmer shel yom HaShabbos. The mizmer shel yom HaShabbos wasn't the tikkun of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. This was the shira that Adam Rishon intellectually understood he was supposed to have said. It's the shira on the bria, like the Brisker Rav said. But he didn't think he's roy, because he felt, who in the world am I to go ahead and sing shira? But when he realized there's something called tshuva, then he chapped, I could do an avera, I can fall 7 times, and I can stand up, and I'm still, the Eibush is still going to be willing to hear from me. Oh, the Eibush still wants to hear from me? My shira is worth something? If my shira is worth something, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sing shira. I see we still have a little bit of time. Just to end with one dove and noira. I mean, this is mamish kedai.
Rabbi Elazar Fleckless was a Talmud Muvik of the Noida B'Yehuda. After Noida B'Yehuda was Nifter, as you would expect, Rabbi Elazar Fleckless was Maspid. He was Maspid the Noida B'Yehuda. The Hespid was on Chai Ir. The B'Yehuda was Nifter on Yud Zayin Ir, Tav Kuf Nun Gimel, and the Hespid was the next day. It was on Chai Ir. And it was a few weeks before Shavuos. So at the end of the Hespid, Rabbi Elazar Fleckless said, I want to speak a little bit Mein Yonah D'Yoyma. It should be a schus for the neshama of Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, his grace and Rebbe, the Noida B'Yehuda, and he said, "I want to speak a little bit about the Noida B'Yehuda." So he began with the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches Amid Beis. Very short. Amr Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, B'Shasha Al Moshe Lamarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Amr Malachi Shos Ofnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Malu Yilodish Benenu. What's a human being doing here? Amr Lehem Lekabel Teirba. He came to be Mekabel Teir. Amr Lufanov. They said Chamuda Genuza, She Genuza Lecha Tav Kuf Ayin Dal Doris, Kayush Nivra Olam. The Torah. That's a chamuda genuza. It's been hidden for 974 generations. Atim avakshu litna lebasal adam. Ma'enesh kisis gerenu. Uben adam kisif gedar. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he has a little bit of a situation here. So Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Hechselem tshuva. Give him an answer. Amalek Fanov. So he said, Misyarani, I'm afraid. Shem Yisrafuni behavash obapim. I'm afraid they're going to burn me with the hevel in their mouths. Amar said, Ebisha told him, Achoyz b'chisei kfaydi. Grab onto the kisei HaKavid. V'chazer lohem tshuva. Shenemar v'chulu v'chulu. So Rav Elazar Fleckless asked like 15 kashas on this Gemara. I'll just mention one. What's this? Chamuda genuza kshegenuza lecha tof kuf ayin dalad doiros kaidem shenivra oilam. What exactly is going on? See, he said a beer noira in this Gemara. He said, we know, Chazal say, and this is something that the Darshei Rishumos, the Svarim HaKdoshim say, that before the Eibishter created this world, Hayu boinu machrev olamos. The Eibishter was creating worlds and destroying worlds and creating them again and destroying them again. There were many, many worlds. But Hashem wasn't happy with those worlds. And that's why he destroyed them. Until finally, Bereishis Bar Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz, the world that we live in right now. What was wrong with those worlds? They just saw that those worlds, they weren't able to keep Torah mitzvahs. Bereishis b'shvil ha-Torah shenikra reishis. B'shvil Yisrael shenikra reishis. And these worlds weren't capable of ultimately having a Klal Yisrael that was going to one day stand at the foot of our Sinai and say Nasa V'Nishma. And as a result, these worlds couldn't be the worlds because the tachlis of the world is B'Shvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis U'B'Shvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis. Said the Malachi Asharis, Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to Shemayim. He says, I came to be Mekabel HaTorah. He says, if you came to be Mekabel HaTorah, we've been through this already. He says, Chamuda genuza, she genuza lecha tav kufay and dalu doyers. We went through this 974 times. We've gone through this. Why are we doing this again? I understand. Create a world. You come to Mekabel Torah. No shaykes. You can't give the Torah. So if you can't give the Torah, why are we going through this again? This we've done this already. We understand it. It doesn't work. The Torah belongs by us. You can't have the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Eibush and he says, what am I supposed to do? I mean, they're making a decent point. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So the Eibush told him, Moshe, Hechzu Lehem Tshuva. So Rav Elazar Fleckless, the Baal Tshuva Me'ahava. This is what he said. He said, you know what he was telling him? He said, tell them that this world's different than the other worlds. Because in the other worlds, there was no such thing as Tshuva. He said, but in this world, there's something called Tshuva. He said, Hechzu Lehem Tshuva. Tell the Malachim there's something called Tshuva. You're right, there's going to be Averis. Like the tough Kufayim Dala Doris. But in this Dor, it's a different story. Because in this Dor, you have the ability to do Tshuva. And because you have the ability to do Tshuva, you can do Tshuva and you can undo it. So he goes there and he tells him about Tshuva. I'm a little fun of. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Misyariani, Shema Yisrafuni Behevel Shevapim. He says, I'm going to tell them Tshuva. You know what they're going to tell me? Tshuva. Eino Doima Hevel Sheyesh Bachet. Brilliant. Lehevel she'em bochet. The hevel p'em shel tinoike shel b'yisrabim that the oilem stands on. You can't compare a person that doesn't have vera and then he does tshuva to a person that never did an avera. He said, I'm afraid. Misyore ani. Shema yisrafuni behevel shel p'em. They're going to come back and tell me tshuva. Very nice. We don't do Averis. We have the Hevel Shebepiyam. We're Kulay Kaddish. We're Kaddish. How could you compare? So he turns to David. What am I supposed to do? Oh my, not David. She told him, Achoyz b'chisei kfoidi v'chazor lem tshuva. Grab onto my kisei akovit. You know what you should tell them? You're making a mistake, Malachim. Because G'doy l'tshuva, Shemagas ad kisei akovit. It's true, Hevel Shebepiyam. It's Meiridik. But b'mokim shemal tshuva oimid, ain't tzadik gomer yochel lamoid. He says, the Malach, you can reach tremendous madrigas, but you can't come to the Madrega of where the Baal Tshuva is able to stand. And that's Achoyz b'chisei kfoidi v'chazor lehem tshuva. He said, Hechzab. Imagine, picture the scene. This is Prague. It's 1793. And Rabbi Elazar Fleckless is being maspid the Noida B'Yehuda. And he's giving the Olam Chizik about what? tshuva, and b'makim shabal tshuva maimdin. This is what he's telling them. Good old-fashioned chizik. This is what he was telling the Yidden. It's about shvuas. Memela what? Memela tshuva. And this was the shvuas takeaway. It's fascinating. That giving chizik, and chizik, and chizik. But this is what he said. At the night of Yehuda's Levahia. This is what he said. So he went ahead, and he said, that was hechselem tshuva was tshuva. And achoyz b'chizik kvayt v'anelem tshuva, because b'makim shabal tshuva oimed, because g'doy l'tshuva shemagasat kisei akov. You know, Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, if you want to look it up, some pre-tzadik in parashas v'eschanan, it's Sif Kotten Gimel. And Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level of Kedusha. He came to the Shar Mem Tes of Kedusha, but he couldn't reach the Shar Nun. So why couldn't he reach right Mem Tes Shari Choch, Mem Tes Shari Kedusha? But the Shar Nun, that was something he wasn't able to reach. So why not? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu reach the Shar Nun? So you know what he said? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Tzadik Gomer. And a tzadik gomer could only get up to the Shar Mem Tes. You know, could reach the Shar Nun, the Baal Tshuva. Because the Baal Tshuva is able to stand, but Mokim Shad, the tzadik can't stand. It's the Shar Nun. But Mokim Shad, the Tshuva Maimdim. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that. He was a tzadik gomer. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the smaller color, Bayus Kulayar. He was Kulay Kodesh, and he couldn't reach more than the Shar Mem Tes. This was the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Vart, that who was Machri, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Rabbi Elazar Godom, you, Kol Chachmi Yisrael. Because they had the Maila, but Mokim Shad, the Tshuva Maimdim. There's a concept that Baal Tshuva has the ability to be pirates all the Gedarim. That's the aside of a Baal Tshuva. Like we spoke about yesterday. This was the chizik. This was the chizik the Rabbi Elazar Flakla said. And I think that's pshat in the Medrash. Other Marishan didn't sing Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos on Tshuva. But it could be there's another Nakud over here. Other Marishan sang Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos on the Bria. Ein Mikra. But other Marishan felt, who am I to sing Shira Takodesh Baruch Hu? And I think that's something that subconsciously a lot of people feel. Like, who am I? At the end of the day, if you knew you had a clean slate and you were driving a brand new car, then yeah, you would take care of it. The problem is we all look at ourselves as, Kamuvan. And that's what other Marishan felt. He felt that who am I to go now and sing Shira Takodesh Baruch Hu? But when he heard Kachi Koicha Shal Tshuva, he said Miyad Yetzmenach Shuldigah Ashir of Debriya Pasach VaAmar Mizmer Shiliyeh Mashava.